Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now with Joe Thomason as our cousin sub of the day. It's a little awkward down here at this end of the practice field because usually I'm down here and I'm by myself. The tight ends, they do their drill work every day, the same spot in this corner of the end zone that I'm down by. But I'm the only one down here. Everybody else is watching other stuff. But Tucker Kraft comes off PUP and everybody in God's creation is down here. So I was contemplating having to use my golf announcer voice, Tucker Kraft, going through blocking drills. But they've now moved on because the tight ends have departed, so I can get back to my regular voice. The offensive line going through their drill work as well, a little bit farther away from me. And Joe, we would be remiss if we didn't take advantage of having you here to talk some offensive line. And we know that the last time you joined us, it was after you'd come and paid a visit up here. And you said some really good things about Jordan Morgan. Obviously, we have not had the pads on yet. That will happen on Monday. There's the mandatory day off tomorrow. There's another practice on Sunday. And then Monday will be the first in-pads practice while I'm at the ESPN Madison Open. So I'm going to miss that. But the idea that everything hinges on the left tackle. Set aside your left tackle bias and tell me if that's true. Because all eyes, you know, you offensive linemen very rarely are all eyes on you. But I think all eyes are on that entire group. But the most eyes are on Jordan Morgan as we get closer to the in-pads practices of camp.
It's obviously an important position. That's why they pay those guys the most money out of the entire offensive line. But the way to think of an offensive line is more like links in a chain. Yeah, it's great to have a really strong link, but defensive players are allowed to move around. Defensive coordinators are allowed to take a guy like a Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and say, well, I don't like that matchup. I'm just go over here and have him one-on-one over against this guy. And so you can't really say it's all that much more important than the rest of the offensive line. But for the Packers specifically, for a guy that only played 51 snaps at left tackle in his NFL career, which all came in week 18 at Minnesota, there's a lot of question marks. And to give you some context, he's an amazing athlete. Jordan Morgan, we know he's played every position for the Packers except for center. He's an incredible athlete at the combine. He ran a 1.69 10-yard split. For me, I was a 1.72, I think. So the man is faster and quicker than I am. He's bigger. He's stronger.
Hall of Famer. He's on his way.
Played, yeah, you never know. But when I got a chance to go visit them in the spring, Coach LaFleur was gracious enough to allow me to come up and work with the offensive line, sit through the meetings and listen and see if there was a few words of wisdom that I could share. And it was great because I got to sit next to Jordan and get to know who he is. Great dude, very serious, takes his craft extremely serious, focused on the details, all those things I think are really important to kind of set the stage for possible success. And we go out on the field, and I'm watching him, and I was ready to, you know, jump in there, turn the hat around like the offensive line coach. Hey, this is what you ought to be doing. You got to change this and that. And I watched him, and I'm like, dang. For a guy that, you know, he played a bunch in college at left tackle, but in the NFL doesn't have a lot of snaps. He's got really good technique. I was very, very impressed. And at the end of practice, I put my arm around him, and I said, hey, man, I was ready to come in here and give you all these tips. And now, do you do things differently than I did technically? Of course. You know, we are different humans. We have different body types. But I said, you are playing in balance. You're taking the right steps. Your eyes are in the right place. Your hand placement's proper. Now, granted, they were in shorts and T-shirts. You know, it was underwear Olympics out there. So you don't really know the consistency side of things until you get those pads on and you watch him reacting to a live pass rusher. But overall, I was very, very impressed. I came out of there thinking he's athletically got what he needs. From a power, physicality standpoint, he's got what he needs. From a mindset standpoint, yes. And then finally, like, the technique is very, very good. It's very impressive for where he is at his stage in his career. And so I don't see any reason why he can't be an all-pro left tackle for the Packers year in and year out. Now, what I just was saying about we need to see it to be able to believe it, and how we're always measured as left tackles is not about how great we look running in the combine or how good our technique is or how we made that great pancake block 50 yards down the field. It's, all right, you got 69 snaps. How many of those 69 snaps did you do your job? How good were you at reacting to a defense that's changing in a split second once the ball is snapped? And that's the part that we need to see, and that's the part that comes with experience. But I would say the sky is the limit, and I'm very optimistic on Jordan Morgan. And if you're a Packer fan, you got to feel really good about the situation that they're in right now at left tackle.
So you played 10,363 consecutive snaps. As good as you were, not all of them were perfect. Right, I'm assuming at some point you gave up a sack or two.
A couple.
What part of resiliency? Because look, he's going to get beat, right? And it could very well be in the opener in Minnesota because the stuff that Brian Flores is going to throw at him is going to confuse him. There's going to be moments where he's going to, you know, get off late on the snap or whatever it might be. How much does resiliency, to your point? Because you play 69 snaps in a game. And you play 66 of them that are awesome, and you give up three sacks. Nobody's talking about, boy, those 66 snaps, he was so good, right? So how much does resiliency, especially at left tackle, come into, you know, a guy's makeup and how effective he's going to be? Because he's not going to be perfect, because even you weren't.
That's why I hated defensive guys. All they got to do is get one sack, and if they do that every week, they go to the Hall of Fame. They stroll into the Hall of Fame. Whereas me, I'm not judged by one play. I'm judged by all of them. And so that's the struggle, and that's the thing that I really want to see out there. But the early returns, at least from getting to know him a little bit and watching him in practice and sitting next to him in meetings, was very positive. And that's why I mentioned mindset and how important it is for an offensive lineman. Like, defensive linemen, they're kind of crazy, right? A lot of them low IQ. That's why you stick them over there. But on offense, like, you need to be able to bounce back. You are much more like a cornerback than any other position on the field because you're going to have a bad play. And the question is, what kind of a mindset do you have to be able to come back the next play, wipe the slate clean from what just happened, and refocus quickly in a matter of 30 seconds on what's the task at hand and what do I have to do next so I don't allow one bad play to turn into two and then snowball into a bad game?
One more thing on the offensive line, and then we'll move forward. You mentioned being links in a chain. When I look at this chain, we just spent a lot of time talking about Jordan Morgan. But really, there are question marks about all the different links, right? If we're going left to right, we've got then Aaron Banks at left guard, who is experienced. He's 28, going to be 29 years old. But he dealt with injuries last year, inconsistent play. And then he has been limited in practice so far. Started out on the PUP. He's off of that. But he's still... You know, he's still got plenty to prove as a veteran player. Then we've got Sean Ryan at center, who played 9 games there, but and played well for a guard playing center. Will he play well for a center being a center? Then you go to right guard, and you've got a guy who played tackle his whole life. And Brian Bulaga has told us that he was an example of a guy that played tackle his whole life, and he went to guard, and he was terrible. He could not have played guard, he says, and I'm going to go on what he says, even if I – think he probably would have figured it out. He says he couldn't have played guard in the NFL. Anthony Belton played some guard as a rookie, obviously last year, started 7 games. He's going to have some competition potentially from Jagger Burton, who's a rookie 5th-round pick who is an interior lineman by trade. And then at right tackle, your best offensive lineman is also coming off a torn patellar tendon. When you look at those links and you look at those 4 guys, how hard is it and how long does it take to get them like in that sync, in that connectivity? Because we all know the chemistry of that is such a vital piece if you're going to succeed.
I think it can happen quickly, but I think the key is how healthy can they be? Because if they're able to be healthy, and I don't even just mean like being there on Sundays, but can those guys come back from a Sunday game and be healthy enough to practice with each other during that entire week? Because you're getting a ton of reps next to the guy who you're going to be playing with on Sunday. If they are able to come back and be healthy week in and week out, especially the early part of that season, because in a regular season, when you're doing practice, you've got like 60 walkthrough reps almost every single day, and then you're going to get about 30 practice reps. So you're getting 90 reps every day that you're on the field. The challenges start is when, like, all of a sudden, Zach Time is down. Who are we going to move out to tackle? Do we bring in his backup, or are we going to now start shuffling guys on the offensive line and putting them out of position because we want to get the best five on the field? And now maybe they're available on Sundays, but not being available during the week, it starts to erode at the chemistry that you're trying to build. So it's something that a lot of times it is out of your control who gets injured, but if they're able to stay healthy through training camp, stay on the field for those practices, stay healthy, being able to practice every single day at the early part of the season, I think that chemistry can come very quickly. And as you mentioned, like, there's a lot of talented guys here. Some have played a lot of football. Some maybe didn't play as well last season as they had hoped, but the talent is there. And now it's just a matter of, can they show up and be accountable each and every day? Can they be available every single practice with each other so that they can go out and they can build that trust and accountability amongst that unit?
You know, I'm glad you bring up the health part of it, though, and Tausch has heard me say this a million times, but it's true. It's so rare for you guys as offensive linemen to keep your group together through a whole season. I think the Packers had 8 or 9 different starting lineups on the offensive line last year, and I always go back to the 2014 team, and I always say that, look, the way they lost in Seattle, obviously devastating. The meltdown and all the mistakes they made to give away a game that they should have won, that should have sent them to a Super Bowl. Well, there were all kinds of terrible things. And I still have people who say, too soon whenever I bring that up. At the same time, one of the other, I don't want to go so far as to say tragedies because that's an overstatement, but one of the other reasons why it was so terrible that they did, that they fell apart that way, is because their offensive line that year played together all year. There was one guy who missed one game. It was our guy, Brian Bulaga, who in week 2, after hurting his MCL in week 1 in Seattle, didn't play against the Jets. And he missed one game, played through it the rest of the year. And so they had their starting lineup intact for 15 of the 16 games. And oh, by the way, that's also one of the reasons why that was one of the best offensive lines they've ever had. And so you talk about the in the week part of it. Like, you were on maintenance, right, sometimes during your career to get you through to Sunday. How often did you have a year where you guys, Batonio and all that crew, how many times did you guys stay healthy all year? Because the odds are against the Packers of the 5 guys that they start with on September 13th in the Twin Cities being the same 5 guys all 17 games long.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what the statistics would parse out, but surprisingly, we had a very good offensive line that was very healthy through the majority of my career, and some of our best offensive lines, me, Joel Batonio, Alex Mack, John Greco, right guard, and Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, all those guys played a long time in the NFL, were very healthy throughout their careers, and availability as an offensive line is one of those things that fans don't think about as much, but general managers, front office people, they put a lot of value on your durability and your ability to just show up and be in that same spot every single day, because it gives your coordinator an unlock in his mind, because he knows then, like, hey, I can count on this guy doing this, even if he's not the best left guard in the NFL. I know the things that he can do, and I know the things that he can't do. And he's reliable in that sense. So I can call a game, and I can put together strategy for this week's opponent that can take advantage of the things that they do well, and then I can avoid the things that they're not as good at. But when you're always moving guys around, you don't know how guys are going to play next to each other with certain concepts and certain run schemes and pass protection schemes. And the unknown is the biggest fear that a lot of coordinators have, because you might call a great play and get somebody wide open down the field, but you didn't expect your left guard to go the wrong way or get beat on a double team that he's got with his center with a nose guard that shouldn't be in the backfield. And so I think that availability is just, by and large, one of the most important, maybe the most important thing for an offensive lineman in the NFL.
We're going to shift gears. I want to talk a little bit about Keyshawn Nixon and the conversation we had with him yesterday and how he's approaching this training camp. He is out here again for his second straight practice after, for some of us, maybe a mysterious hamstring issue that kept him out, but he claims that that was had nothing to do with his contract situation. We'll get to that coming up after I tell you about Gruble offices. One call, that's all. And I say it all the time, but I mean it. I hope you never have to call them. David hopes you never have to call him either, because that means you've never been injured in an accident. But unfortunately, it happens all the time. And also, unfortunately, sometimes people make the wrong call. So make the right call and make sure that you have the best team on your team if you've been injured in an accident. And that is Gruble offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com. All right, the Packers continuing with practice. Looks like we might have some 11-on-11 coming up here. Before we can get to that, we need to hear from Tausch on tape. Tausch on tape. I always love Tausch on tape. Telling us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford. More Wilde and Tausch with Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. Hard Rock Casino Rockford offers the most generous and most frequent promotions of any casino in the Midwest. And how's this for a little adventure? If you're not able to make it up to Green Bay for the college football opener, head down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford on Sunday, September 6th. At 9 p.m. on the Sunday night of Labor Day weekend, one lucky winner will receive a $45,000 credit valid towards the purchase of any eligible new or pre-owned RV. That's right. Play now using your Unity card and earn entries through September 6th, and you could win a $45,000 credit for a new or used RV. Check out the full rules at casino.hardrock.com. Play, dine, shop, and enjoy live shows and the sportsbook. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
You know, there's this old saying, there is no such thing as a stupid question. I'm here to tell you that that's false. I've heard plenty of them and certainly asked plenty of them in my time covering this team, so I'm not going to pretend that there aren't stupid questions, and this could be among them. Because I'm going to ask a Hall of Famer this question. Joe, at any point during your time with the Browns, did you find yourself unhappy with your contract?
To be totally honest, I don't think I ever felt like deep unhappiness. Sure, there was times in my career that I was like, oh, man, now these dudes are getting paid a lot of money, and I'm way better than they are. But I don't know. I never really wanted to make that something I dwelled on, because I just wanted to be the best left tackle I possibly could be and try to be the best teammate that I could be. And I just thought that if I could focus on those two things and keep every little last brain cell in my mind thinking about that, then the contract stuff will take care of itself. And, you know, towards the middle of my second deal, so maybe like year 7 or 8, sure, could I have held out and tried to make a little bit more money? Sure, but also, that kind of wasn't who I was, and I think in the end, my mindset was like, you know what, I get to play a kid's game, I'm making way more money than I ever dreamed of, and it's more important to me to be a great teammate and try to be part of an awesome team and let that stuff take care of itself, rather than trying to extort the team for some more money, even though maybe I deserved it. And that's not to say, like, guys that do that don't have a right to do it, because I think players should absolutely get every last cent that they're worth. But in my personal situation, it wasn't something that I really ever thought about, and I never really had to worry about it.
So, and there is no player on this current roster today that is more of a lightning rod, that if I even say his name, we get tweets about him. And I'm just, again, I understand that I have a different view of Keyshawn Nixon than some of the fans. I look at him as a guy that I understand he's brash. I understand the optics of that play at the goal line against the Bears in the playoff game. I understand all that. At the same time, this is a guy that signed for veteran minimum in 2022. Wasn't even the return guy when he came here. He worked his way up, became an all-pro return guy, then became their starting nickel, and now is a starting outside corner. And I was having this conversation with one of the national folks that were here yesterday, like, and he said it, not me. If you're mad that Keyshawn Nixon is your number one corner, don't be mad at Keyshawn Nixon. Be mad at your general manager who has handled that position to the point that Keyshawn Nixon is your number one corner. If he was your number two corner, no one would complain about him. But he is definitely their number one, and he is being paid this year $4.3 million as a base salary. He did not practice the first day. He passed his physical and then said yesterday to us that he experienced some hamstring tightness when he woke up, so he did not practice the first day. But, and I would say this was a smart thing, even if he was kind of maybe faking it a little bit, but he says he wasn't, so I'm going to take him at his word. But he got back out there yesterday. He's out there again today because I don't think you want to be opening the door by holding in, given the fact that it didn't help Elgton Jenkins, who is now a Cleveland Brown, by the way, last year. So he's out there today. He's out there yesterday. We talked to him in his locker yesterday. He said he's just going to focus on playing ball, and that it's up to his agent and Goody. He kept saying, it's up to Goody and my agent, Goody and my agent. But, Joe, I'm sure you had, even if it wasn't you personally, I'm sure you had guys that were probably underpaid and had a right to be less than thrilled with their financial lot in life. Did you see them? How did you see them handle it? Because I think that you probably go through different stages, and Keyshawn was probably pissed for a while, and now he's probably just resigned to it. And basically, you have to, at some point, right, you have to say to yourself, look, I can't keep sulking because then I'm not going to play well, and then I'm really going to cost myself some money. So how did you see guys deal with that when they were maybe in a similar position to what Keyshawn is in now?
It's a difficult situation, and I'll give a little bit of context to the things that I said about my own career. I was the third pick overall, so like, mm-hmm. I got paid as a rookie, and I had a nice contract, and then signed another nice contract. And so guys that come in undrafted or late on draft choices haven't really made a big contract yet. I understand that those are different circumstances and they want that deal, but how you handle it, I think a lot of times determines if you do get that deal and mm-hmm. how big it is and what it looks like. And I've seen the good and the bad of handling it. My own opinion, overwhelmingly for a guy like Keyshawn, would be, hey, if they don't want to pay you what you think you're worth, fine, great. Go out and prove that they were wrong. And mm-hmm. be the best version of yourself every single day, be the best teammate, and make them think in their mind, we cannot go on without this guy. We have to have him here. And if you're a great teammate, you show up every single day, you do everything right, you're a great leader, they're going to value that highly above what you just do on the field for them. And they're going to say, you know what, maybe he's not worth top of the market money. Maybe he's really, maybe should be paid like a number two, but we're going to pay him a little bit more because he showed us the loyalty. He's an amazing locker room guy. He's the type of person we want to build our defense around, and we want to point to the other young guys and say, hey, this is how you act like a true professional. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, that's how you get the most leverage and get the best contract. The worst thing to do is to do these little hold-ins and to play all these games, because in the end, the team just gets annoyed with you, unless you're like the best player at the position. Then, you know, you're Myles Garrett, you're Micah Parsons. Okay, that can create some leverage. But if you're not that guy, all you're doing is creating a little needle in the side of the team, making them say, no, we don't want to pay this guy. We want to get rid of him, actually, as soon as we can. And so I think it's the wrong approach. When I was in Cleveland, we had a guy, Peyton Hillis, who had a great season, mm-hmm. Was on the cover of Madden, ran for 1,000 yards, was kind of a fullback when he came in. He was thrust into service as a running back because we had nobody else. Our offensive line blocked every run basically for 6 yards. He got 4.5. And so then thought he was supposed to be paid as this great running back. And so he did something similar. You know, all of a sudden he had all these hamstring injuries. He stopped practicing all the time because he was hurt. And then you know what? He tried to go out on Sundays and perform the way he needed to be able to go get paid by the Browns or somewhere else. And he couldn't do it because he hadn't put the work in. Because he's so worried about his contract. He was so worried about sticking it to the team and showing them how much they need him by sitting out of practice that he wasn't in shape. He wasn't the same dude that he was before, because what made him good enough to be on the cover of Madden was the fact that he felt like he had that chip on his shoulder and he had to show up every day and he had to prove himself every single time he stepped on that field. And even if he was nicked up a little bit, he was going to go out there and sell out for his teammates and his team. But because he didn't put that work in, because he was so worried about his contract, he ended up actually getting hurt when he tried to go out and play. And then he never got the contract he wanted. And then he was out of the league not too long after that. So a little cautionary tale. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. And I think the wrong way is typically, unless you're the best of the best at that position and they have to have you, you should show up and absolutely be at your best every single day and prove to the team they have to have you.
Well, that appears to be the approach that Keyshawn Nixon has decided to take. I would also say that Brandon Cisse, their second-round pick, their top pick since they didn't have a first-rounder from the Micah Parsons trade, probably seeing him out at practice on day one in your spot, it's a pretty good motivator too, right? Make sure that I'm not going to give this guy an opportunity to Wally Pip me. I'm going to be out there and keep fighting for my starting spot. We will see what kind of season Keyshawn has, but it was interesting spending some time with him yesterday. And that Peyton Hillis cautionary tale, that's a good one. I remember him being on the cover of Madden, but to your point, I kind of forgot whatever happened to him after that. And that's a really big cautionary tale you just shared.
Sorry. Briefly. I know. You just sparked a little something inside of me. Yeah. Guys, oftentimes, and this is every pro athlete I've ever been around, you have to fight the mentality of forgetting the work that you put in to get to where you were. Because it's just like a fan base, right? Your team wins 10 or 11, 12 games every year. You feel like that's the expectation, that's the standard, and you just roll out of bed there. And you forget, like, what you had to do to get to that situation. And that if you don't do that work, you're not back to where you were last year, and you're not even close. And so I think for these guys, like, oh, you know, now I've made it. I don't have to put in the work I was putting in. That's a recipe for disaster.
Here's another cautionary tale. If you don't have your legal affairs in order, you're not alone. You're 84% of people do not have them fully in order. That's why we have Walney Legal Group on our side. They specialize in estate planning, wills, trusts, probate, elder care, and special needs planning, offering a customized, personalized experience, not a cookie cutter, one size fits all solution. As Ito and Kelly have told me, estate planning is an uncomfortable necessity. I agree with the uncomfortable part, and I also agree with the necessity part. That's why I have started the process with them. I'm about halfway through, and I continue to move forward because they make it smooth, easy, and as painless as possible. As they like to say, lawyering the way it should be. Clear communication, niche expertise, personal service, and a modern approach. So go to the website right now and start the process no matter where you're at. WalneyLegal.com. That's W-A-L-N-Y Legal.com. Whoa, Rye Guy, with maybe a little bit of Whoa, Riley as well. Coming up next is Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Time now. Rye Guy, you may have set a record for least amount of verbal contributions to a program as the producer. Certainly Jesse's never come anywhere close to such a low percentage. Let's turn the show over to you for Whoa, Rye Guy.
The topic is good. The guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Yeah, Jason, unlike your usual producer, I am not starved for attention at all times, so I don't feel the need to talk consistently. Even when he's not on the show, he's texting us during the show about us talking about him. Not about the show, but us talking about him on the show is the only thing Jesse points out, obviously. But because I am a good producer. I am going to do his duties as well while he's away.
Well, you do sound like Jesse right now telling us that you're a good producer. So, at least you're...
I'm learning something. The chair is growing on me, Jason. That's what I'll say. I'm slowly becoming Jesse. But I do have to pull this week's Woolly and Tausch trivia winner from the famous cheese fry helmet that he uses. There's a patented creation. So, guys, let's go ahead and see who will be the winner of this week's Woolly and Tausch trivia. And that would be contestant number three, which, guys, this week, that was Robert in Eau Claire. Congratulations to Robert in Eau Claire winning that Cousin
Good
Subs.
Work, Robert.
That Cousin
well
Subs
done.
And Vortex Optics trivia swag bag. So congratulations to Robert in Eau Claire. Anyways, all right, guys, it is Woe Woolly. And Jason hinted there might be some Woe Riley in here, too. And I already told Riley that this is something he's going to be interested in as well because, guys, I don't know if you heard the big news from two D3 colleges in Illinois, but Jesse Nelson, once again referencing the usual producer, has been a big proponent of moving bowl games to earlier in the college football season. Well, apparently Eureka College and Westminster College have established their own bowl game on September 16th. The inaugural Berlin Wall bowl game will be played this coming season, guys. No reactions, nothing. No.
I'm sorry, is there a question in there?
I was waiting
to see.
Didn't seem
like there was a question.
I was waiting to see if there was a laugh. Nothing. Okay, well, I guess no one's as interested as I am. The two institutions are playing for the Berlin Wall Bowl game because they both have a historic connection, one through Prime Minister Winston Churchill, the other through President Ronald Reagan, and they both have original sections of the Berlin Wall displayed on their campus as well. So... The Berlin
Wall. Whoa! Now we're talking. Yeah. A little context would have helped. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's almost as bad as Name That Year.
There we go.
Down with the Cold War. Anyways, the winner earns possession of the newly created Berlin Wall Bowl trophy. So, guys, if two Wisconsin D3 colleges were to do something even remotely like this, something related to a historical event where they could play over the bowl game trophy, what do you think it should be? I mean, we have a few here that have like consistently been played. The Culver's Isthmus Bowl is one that we've broadcasted here on ESPN Madison a couple times. I don't know if there's anything else, though, related to just Wisconsinisms or Wisconsin history that you guys think could be interesting. But, Riley, you're the biggest college football fan I know. I'd want to throw it to you here first.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of big historical events and particularly tragic events. I don't know. Did any universities have a connection to, like, the Chicago Fire? Back in the early 20th century, perchance?
I mean, did it have to be a tragic event?
Well, I don't know. Berlin Wall, that was... The Cold War wasn't great.
Well, yeah, but it coming down is the big deal. That's why they have parts of the wall. Like, it was a historic, momentous moment.
Well, they rebuilt
after
the Chicago Fire.
Was bad.
Yeah. Well, the original was bad, but we're celebrating it because it's not there anymore, right? Like, that's the reason we celebrate the Berlin Wall.
Talk about threading the needle there. Yeah. Okay, great.
You're going to make us want to have Jesse back.
Okay. Wow.
That's the big
thing. Didn't have that on my bingo card.
The most insulting thing Jason's ever said to me, actually.
Mifflin Street Block Party Bowl. You know, like the Madison, Wisconsin freshman versus Whitewater.
Yeah.
You know, right around finals week.
Versus
you know?
The Edgewood College football team if they had one.
Some playing football.
Yeah, but it's actually not a football game. It's a beer drinking contest.
Yes.
So I think I
can get behind that.
I'd buy tickets to that. Yeah. Live stream that one, baby. ESPN Wisconsin. Plus.
The Mifflin Bowl. The Ocho.
Yeah. Let's go.
Next.
Oh, next. All right.
Whoa, Nelly.
Jason doesn't have anything for that one. All right, guys. Then the other thing that happened to me this morning, I did go to the gym as I'm a psycho who goes to the gym today. I went at 5:30. And there was an issue for me.
Should come with me.
Joe was there.
5:30.
Talk about digital content. Working out with Joe Thomas? Let's get on that.
Something tells me it would not go well for me at all. As you can tell, I don't know if you can see me.
The barbell bowl.
The barbell bowl.
There it is.
The broken arms bowl might be more like it. If you guys can see my arms on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, they're not quite there. But guys, I was at the gym and it was really awkward because I don't usually go that early. I don't know if this is a normal thing, but there was no music at all playing in this entire public gym for like 2 hours. And it was just completely silent. Like for me, I'm someone who likes to listen to a podcast when I'm working out, so I have one earbud in, but I can't bring myself to put both in and just like close out the rest of the world because I want to have like awareness of my surroundings, anyone who's there with me. But the dead silence of just other people working out and then awkward conversations in the background made me very uncomfortable at the gym. Are you guys like me? Do you have to go to the gym and there has to be some sort of background noise?
Yeah, but also if you're listening to a podcast when you're training in the weight room, it makes total sense why your arms look like toothpicks.
Okay. Because let me say this.
There's not enough focus on getting bigger and getting stronger if we're enjoying our daily dose of the New York Times.
Well, it wasn't the daily, but
NPR radio, the quiet storm.
I said this, Joe. I went to the gym. I did not say touching the weights.
I was doing cardio.
Strictly this morning on the stationary bicycle, getting some sweat in before I came into work. So, yeah.
Here's closing the loop back to your Berlin Wall thing. So I lived in Germany for a year. We were coaching the Munich Ravens. Mm-hmm. And German culture, very different than American culture. And I would work out there, and their gyms are silent as well. And it's required. And it's very weird. I hated it. I like going into gym. I mean, you're used to training with athletes. Music is cranking. People are sweating and screaming, and there's chalk everywhere, right? Like, things are getting done. We are working, and we are grinding and getting better. And the fact that the gym is quiet, I hated it. I hated every day that I worked out there. And exercise is a large part of my life. It gives me joy and happiness. And every hour that I get to do during the week is, like, the best hour. And I totally get where you're coming from. I don't know why they would ever go quiet in a weight room and a gym. It makes zero sense to me.
It was like five people there in like this gym, like the size of like a parking lot, and it's just like dead silent. Everyone can just hear whatever the other people are doing for their workout. I felt very uncomfortable. I hated it. It was 45. It was like the first hour or so I was there, basically the entire time. So it was very weird. Riley, have you ever been to jiu-jitsu practice without any music on?
No, actually, usually even during jiu-jitsu, there's music going on in the background. Sometimes it's Brazilian pop, and I have no idea what they're saying, but it's great music. It's upbeat. You're rolling around. You're working hard. So, no, I also much, much, much prefer music and the ambient noise rather than, you know, just a bunch of sweaty dudes wrestling.
Wildy, at Packers practice, do they play music?
Yes, but
they do, and I always have to be a little bit careful about where I stand because it is oftentimes, at least during their season when there aren't fans here, it is uncensored. So I don't want to run afoul with the FCC. I do believe they clean it up here during training camp when the kids are here, but there aren't, like, I'm sure we'll have a practice next week that'll be open to the media but close to fans, and then I'll have to be careful again with the with how close I am to the speakers because the word choices are questionable. I do want to look, Joe Thomas doesn't need our praise and adulation too much. I know it makes him uncomfortable. He's just a regular guy, but what a great teammate. You, by that German gym story, completely saved the second half of an otherwise god-awful woolly portion of the program.
Up until this conversation, I used to feel good about going to the gym every day until Joe Thomas just made me feel like a weakling. I'll have that one in my back pocket forever, I guess.
Well, at least you got to ride the
logo iron addicts are always willing to take anybody that wants to come and give effort and sweat with us. So 5:30, you don't even have to wake up any earlier.
Okay. Well, hopefully you guys got music playing. That's all I'll say.
Good, trust me.
We got a DJ. We got a legit DJ.
Really?
Charlie Parker, the legend. He used to DJ at the KK, and he DJs our morning sessions in the weight room. Yeah, I love it. We don't mess around.
We will wrap things up with our Feel Good Friday painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. We'll do that after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance. It's Wildy and Tausch with Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day.
Sundays at Lambeau just got even better thanks to American Family Insurance. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes for your chance at the ultimate Packers game day experience. Winners score tickets to the November 15th game, a pregame tailgate in Titletown, a signed Jordan Love jersey, historical Packer tours, swag, and more. Your dream weekend is waiting. Don't miss it. No purchase is necessary. Enter by 11:59 Central Time on October 14th of 2026. See official rules and enter at amfam.com/Packers.
The NFL is back.
Lamar Jackson and Matt LaFleur, you could put in the same category. Both of those guys are only going to be judged on how they do in the playoffs.
Tune in for your green and gold coverage all Packers season right here on 100.5 ESPN.
We wrap up the week and wrap up the show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. And for that, we turn to the Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas.
Yeah, so last night was cool. I was at Johnny Delmonico's great steakhouse in Madison, Wisconsin. Actually did my official visit dinner there. Had a spectacular dinner there, just like I did last night. It was the Coaches versus Cancer fundraiser. I think there was around 85, 90 guests, raised over 50 grand just in ticket sales alone. It was cool because Hall of Fame Farms Wagyu was on the menu, and they had strip steak, we had ribeye, and then we had picanha, which is a sirloin cap. A lot of people haven't had it unless you're jiu-jitsu master. Brazilians, that's their favorite
really?
Cut. It's got amazing beefiness, and with our Wagyu, it's incredibly tender also, unlike a lot of other breeds, and marbled, and it was really special. So for me to be able to come there and think about at that moment, you know, 15 years ago, I was playing in the NFL. Now I can use what has become my second career as a farmer, raising Wagyu in Muscadet, Wisconsin, to help make an impact locally, raising money for cancer research, Carbone Cancer Center. It was definitely a big feel-good evening for me and my Hall of Fame Farms team that was there last night, and seeing and getting a chance to meet a bunch of the guests that were there. One of the people that came up to me at the end of the night said, "I've been a chef for 40 years, and that was the best steak I've ever had in my entire life." And so, like, when you have moments like that, you're like, man, I must be doing the right things right now because I'm making an impact, and it also makes me feel pretty good to be able to help out in Madison and the community that I live, and it's so important to me and my family. It was a very humbling moment. Much the same as it was for Wildy when he had the super fan hollering at him today as he went out to practice. So if you're interested in our beef sticks, our beef jerky, our cheddarwurst, summer sausage, or those amazing Wagyu steaks, please visit hallofamefarms.com. You can ask these guys here. The jerky and the sticks that I bring in are pretty good. We think they're the best of the best, but I'll let you guys decide for yourselves.
Almost as humbling as the way Wooly went in the last segment. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks to Joe Thomas. Thanks to Riley Yauch. Thanks to Wooly. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Whoa, Nelly!
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.